Welcome to the Brothers Streep Show. On today's episode, we'll be talking toilet seats.
We'll be playing a game of true or false with Derek Watts and Sunday Blues. And the brothers tackle the Brad Pitt quiz. Enjoy!
Welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brothers Streep Show. Welcome to the Brothers Streep Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And welcome to another episode of the Brothers Streep Show.
Whoop whoop. Episode 51. Here we go. That's like Area 51.
Over the hill.
Ooh.
Do you guys believe in aliens?
I'm so glad you brought that up because one of the rounds today has to do with aliens.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that. But do you believe in aliens?
Yeah, I think I believe in aliens. I don't necessarily believe that they are what the alien books will have you kind of believe.
Big head, big eyes.
Yeah, like the 90s t-shirt, take me to your dealer.
Yeah,
I don't think they necessarily exist.
Right.
I don't think they're just out there smoking spliffs wearing blackjacks, but I do think...
Blackjacks are the best.
But I do think the possibility of there being some sort of other life on, you know, out there in outer space, pretty high considering how small Earth seems to
be. Well, I started watching the movie The Green Lantern last night and that looked pretty realistic. So
very humanoid aliens in that, isn't
it? Yeah.
And a
fish dude.
Is there a fish dude?
Yeah, there's an alien from each different planet.
Wow.
It's okay. An amazing idea.
Why are you watching The Green Lantern? I heard that was
that's famously
lampooned.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Everyone's heard that it's a famously bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have they watched it?
No.
See, this is the thing. Exactly. You haven't
in
have
the
you
room,
watched it?
Yeah, no one's watched it except
for
you.
Me. And I've only watched 20 minutes and I'm loving it.
You're loving the 20 minutes.
Oh, but you're a dad now. Oh, you have to love kind of subpar things.
This upsets me.
What, like my daughter? Is that what you're saying?
Hold on. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Sometimes dads and moms have to put on stuff that their daughter can watch.
Yeah.
And it would be torturous to not find a way to enjoy it. So I think your bar does have to drop just naturally.
Okay. I mean, my bar was pretty low.
I just find it weird. You notoriously pretty much don't watch anything. We kind of, for years, if you're new to this podcast, for years we've tried to get Andrew to watch the new cool things of the time.
Yeah.
And he just point blank refuses to watch it. And now you are dedicating time of your life to watch something that you know is terrible.
Are you having the time of your life?
Oh yeah. And I've never felt this way before. And maybe this is my niche. Maybe I am the person who watches the movies that no one else will watch. And I mean that in like just a terrible movie.
Because that's why they keep making those movies.
Like
if you, on behalf of that group of people, could stop watching those movies, stop supporting them.
I'm not going to stop. I think I'm going to start. And like Legally Blonde 2.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Have you?
No. Well,
Bend and Snap.
Maybe
that's all
it'll
I
be good though.
The first one was pretty enjoyable.
I haven't seen the first one.
I had to. It was in the course that we studied.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What course?
At UCT. I studied
film. I didn't know you did law.
Wow.
they made us watch it. So I've seen that one, but they definitely didn't make us watch Legally Blonde 2 because I'm almost certain it would be a terrible film.
Almost certain. You see, there's a little bit of play there. That's what I'm banking on.
Wow. Well, it's a good thing. You got Netflix, right?
Yeah,
you'll find loads of those sorts of films on Netflix.
Great.
When are you going to work your way through the Sharknado films?
I've seen there's like 5 of them. It's terrifying. Yeah. That's too scary for me. I think what I'm going to do is
too
go,
scary.
Is
go
too
to, scary.
Yeah, Sharknado. Sharks out of a tornado.
Yeah,
there's literally a tornado happening in the States right now, and you're telling me that you are not scared by a Sharknado.
I'd be more scared of an actual tornado, I think.
Yeah, but
because
with sharks in it.
Because it's normal.
They've upped
sharks,
the stakes.
Sharks out of water die. This is what I don't understand about these films.
But flying at you.
Sharknado, if you ever do watch it, is really not a scary film. I don't think it's meant to be scary.
Andrew winces at blood and stuff.
Yeah.
There's plenty of it.
Exactly.
I also believe in aliens, by the way.
So you believe in aliens as well?
Well, I like you. I think it would be very, what's the word?
Naive?
No, the opposite of modest.
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
There you go.
To to believe that there couldn't be other life outside of Earth.
Do you think it would be sort of intelligent life, like kind of people-ish? Or do you think it's mainly just plants?
This is kind of like the Star Wars versus Star Trek version of aliens. If you ever watch Star Trek films and the series, every alien is just a human with like some spray paint on their face and like funny ears. Yeah. And that's how they see every possibility of life outside of Earth. Whereas Star Wars goes a little bit more kind of blobular and creative. I think they could be interesting plants as well.
Do you think plants that could like talk and stuff?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the height of being intelligent is being able to talk like a human.
Yeah, and if a plant can talk, is it really a plant?
Or is it that Venus flytrap from Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah. If a plant can talk, is it really a plant? I think if it looks like a plant, smells like a plant, and tastes like a plant.
Yeah, probably
and
is a
talks
plant.
Like a human. It's a what?
I'd like to venture into the bathroom. I feel like I haven't led a venture into the bathroom for a while.
Good.
I usually end up being a recipient of bathroom news via you two.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're venturing there.
I have a question about the bathroom.
Okay.
What is the point of the toilet seat lid? The actual lid that closes over the top.
Oh, so that you can sit on the lid and chat to your wife when they're in the bath.
That can't be the point of it.
Why can't that be the point of it?
You think a toilet is meant to double functionally as a seat?
I think it's very useful if you are wanting to have said conversation with the wife in the bath.
That's a use that you've put on afterwards. I'm saying, what is the actual point of it?
So I have two completely logical and important answers for you.
Why is my one not logical? Have you never had a chat to someone while they're in the bath?
I'm adding to your logic.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to say that they're very boring. The other one is more exciting.
Okay, so do we get to choose?
Yeah.
Let's start with boring.
Okay, the two boring ones is your kid can fall in.
Okay, don't have a kid. Carry on.
And
what's the point of my bathroom?
and it needs to cover it so that when you flush, no like particles will escape.
What are you?
No, that's not true.
Are you shutting your
particles? Are like subatomic, and they will get out of that little crack between lid and
It's keeping them down.
More importantly, are you closing the lid every single time you flush?
You are meant to.
Yeah, you don't.
But are you doing that?
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I do.
What?
Liar.
Yeah.
Liar.
No.
I do.
Surely that's a waste of time and energy.
It's all about the particles.
Also, I don't want to get too coarse here, but then you don't get the advantage of just quickly glimpsing to see that everything's all good.
You can glimpse, you just have to peek.
So you lift up again.
What?
Yeah, but after things have settled.
For someone who is incredibly aware of hygiene, you've now touched the toilet twice unnecessarily.
And we are straight to my point. Here's the thing with the lid. You have to touch it. It's an awful thing to have to touch. I feel like you could go in and out of a bathroom without even like needing to clean.
Why is it awful? Because of the particles. Exactly. And you're about to wash your hands, so what's the big deal?
I just don't think in a public bathroom, I don't like walking in to find a seat that's down and have to lift it with my own bare hands.
Okay, well, here's the third reason.
So you lift it, wash your hands, do your business, wash your hands, close it, flush, wash your hands, leave.
That's a ridiculous way
to live.
that is a strange thing to do. Also, though, can I go back to the, you know, so you can sit in the thing? I mean, surely, okay, regardless to whether you have a wife that's in the bath who's needing you to converse with her at the time, it's also useful, say you've got a shower, you don't have a bath, and you need to kind of take your shoes off. You can sit upon the throne and just take your shoes off right then and there.
You could sit on the floor. You could sit on the side of the bath.
Sit on the floor?
You could put your
feet up on
a... What
kind of Neanderthal are you sitting on the floor?
You could put your feet up on the basin.
What?
I'm just saying.
That's not hygienic.
The toilet isn't designed to be a seat as well as a toilet.
Have you ever sat on the seat?
Yes, for a music video. Because I didn't want to appear like I was actually using the loo.
But you don't treat it as a seat in general?
No, I've got seats in my lounge, in my living room, by my desk. I mean, what do you mean treat it as a seat? If you're like just wandering around the house and you go, my legs are tired, I need to sit down. Let me run to the bathroom where the least comfortable seat is.
I've got a book to read. Let me go recoil in my favorite chair.
I understand nowadays because there's a lot more kind of emphasis on water wiseness. And I feel like obviously it's always been a problem, wasting of stuff, but these days people do it more. When they designed the toilet first, they must have been over the moon that they could flush stuff away anyway. there was no chance of like wanting to hide that fact. Nowadays, people leave things in the toilet on display to save water. And there I can see, okay, maybe you'll put the lid down because you don't want to look at what you've left behind.
Yeah.
Right? Toilet paper and the like. But it wasn't designed that way in the beginning. What is the seat for?
Pythons. In Australia, don't like snakes climb out of the toilet.
Yeah, that so is true.
You need it's a lid possible. To slam down on its head.
I'm with Kerr on this, and then I think the toilet seat. I mean, it is called a toilet seat. The seat is in the title of what it's called. I think it's okay for it to have a function where it can.
So that doesn't even make any sense.
No, but that's the lid.
Because
clearly, we're talking about the lid, not the seat. The seat is what you sit on.
Huh?
You're sitting on the lid if you have the lid down.
But
you're sitting
sit
on the seat
the lid.
If you have the lid up.
Yeah, but you can sit on the lid.
Yeah, but you wouldn't call the it lid. The toilet seat then. It's the lid.
Well, either way, I'm with Andrew. Andrew, I'm on your side here. Speaking of the bathroom, funny enough, I had thought of something the other day. It was quite weird. We had We had a job shadower with us this week, shadowing the jobs that we do in the office. And he is in high school. He must be like grade 10 or 11. And at one stage, he asked me whether he could go to the bathroom.
That's pretty nice. Did he call you sir?
I don't know if he called me sir, but it made me realize that there was a time in our lives where we had to ask whether we could go to the bathroom. These days, we just go to the bathroom willy-nilly. Oh, I feel like a little trip. Or if in Andrew's case, I feel like a little sit on my toilet seat just after strolling through the house and getting tired legs.
But
you just go. But now, when you're a kid, you had to ask.
You've got the privilege of working at a company that doesn't have like one key for a bathroom that's designated to them. So I've seen that in some companies where you do end up carrying the equivalent of a hall pass to go to the bathroom, where it's like, I can't go now because somebody's taken the key.
Well, I have a traumatic story from school, which is not that traumatic. Let's put that at the front. None of my stories are traumatic.
I like when you take the wind out of your own sails.
I must have been in grade 5, and I asked my science teacher if I could go to the bathroom.
And he looked up at you and said...
He lectured me for about 10 minutes because I called it the bathroom and not the toilet. He took umbrage. He was like, there's no baths in there.
Oh.
It is a toilet.
Wow.
And he shouted at me.
That's being very specific. It's the toilet room by his logic then.
Exactly. I thought it was the bathroom. And then I didn't know why I was getting so much flack. Maybe I'd like done something to annoy him.
Were you able to hold it in for the duration of the lecture?
I think I was. Yeah.
What do you think he was?
Do you recall?
I thought you remember, lecture, you meant the rest of the lesson.
Do you remember being bullied for 2 months after that? In which case you probably weren't able to.
I weed my pants. It's probably come up on this podcast before, but
this particular one.
I had seen someone ask the teacher where they could go and the teacher said no. So I had needed to go, and I thought, well, I'm not going to have any better luck asking the teacher. She's already set the precedent. You can't go to the bathroom in this class. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to make use of what is here. And what is here is really just my own pants and the desk.
Wow.
What
and the desk?
Well, I was sitting
was
at a desk.
Was it one of those lifty top desks? Could you go inside?
I was able to urinate through the ink hole.
Oh, love that old ink hole. Although it was always stuffed with knick-knack packets. You couldn't really get in there. I went to a scummy school.
Andrew,
names carved in with Tippex.
Since we last recorded the podcast, some significant thing has happened in the lives of the Streeps.
Yeah.
Andrew has moved work. He used to be above me at the Woodstock Exchange, and now he is no longer there. He's moved elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so what I would really like to know is what is the bathroom situation at your work?
I mean, here we go. So significantly worse.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Worse than the constantly flooding Woodstock Exchange bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I used to love going upstairs to the third floor and spending, 10 minutes there just minding my own business.
Minding your own business?
Yeah.
When you're going all over the floor? mind that.
And in fact, I mean, this is what it came to is I a few trips as it was kind of coming to the end of my time at the Woodstock Exchange,
yes,
I was thinking, man, I'm going to miss this toilet.
Did you do anything crazy?
This could be the best toilet work of my life. I didn't do anything crazy. I just, you know.
You didn't like wet toilet paper balls and throw them on the ceiling?
No ways. No, I respected that place.
You respected
it was like a second home to me.
To constantly use the disabled toilets.
No, I mostly
like
went upstairs.
That's a lack of respect.
Okay, well, fair enough. Anyway, so the toilet at work is one room with a toilet.
Yeah.
And it is directly opposite the boss's office.
You found the executive bathroom.
No, suite. This is the one that we use.
Really?
And it's like, there's no, you can't faff about because, you know.
He's watching.
Yeah, exactly. She'll know if you're spending too long in the toilet.
Does she have one of those chess style, like ticker timer things? So that, like, as somebody walks in, she hits it. And then it's like, okay, you've got like 90 seconds to get in and out.
Well,
or else
look,
it's her move.
There's been no hostility yet, but I also haven't, you know, tested the limits.
I mean, the big question is it well air conditioned?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're
nice.
Working, for context, you're working at an air conditioning
That's true.
Place.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been cooler to say that up front.
Cooler.
Cooler, yeah.
I'm a big
Very
fan.
Good.
All right.
Speaking of disabled bathrooms, the wheelchair-friendly aisle in Pick and Pay, are we allowed there if you're not in a wheelchair?
Wait, there's an aisle now.
In some Pick and Pays, they have a wheelchair-friendly
interesting one,
aisle.
There's one in the Pick and Pay near me.
Are you allowed to go there if you're not in a wheelchair?
I'll be honest, I did the first time and then noticed and then moved.
Oh.
Yeah, I moved myself.
Okay. You wouldn't have been able to live with the shame that we would heap upon you.
Since then, I might have used it.
Whoa, yeah. Might have. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
that's,
I think
that's double standards.
How so?
Well, you won't use the disabled bathroom, but you'll use the disabled aisle.
Ah, but the disabled person in question can use any of the aisles, including that one. They can't use any bathroom.
But then why do they have the disabled aisle?
I think it's just closer to the exits.
Well, once again, it's not really disabled. It's wheelchair friendly. I like to think what they've done is they've done a very rigorous employment method where they've asked their employees lots of questions. And they've found out that some of the cashiers just really hate wheelchairs and people in wheelchairs. And some of them really like wheelchairs. And so they put the wheelchair friendly people in the wheelchair aisle.
You think it's more about the cashier that's wheelchair friendly than the aisle. Okay.
Just the other ones, if you go anywhere close to them in a wheelchair,
I hope they're lower. Are they lower? Because
no,
that would make sense.
They're just wider because wheelchairs take up more space
than
shoulders.
But I mean, that must be really tricky in a wheelchair to like lug your stuff onto the conveyor belt because it's quite high in general. They should have thought about that. It should be. It's not really friendly then, is it?
Well,
it's just like
it's
wider.
Friendlier than suddenly trying to go towards the cashier and realizing you've bought down all the chomps and Astros and knickknacks in the side aisles of that queue.
That's true. The temptation aisles.
But I will. It's a good point with the lowness. So I will look at the Pick and Pay, and in a couple of episodes' time, I'll report back.
You know how you can measure. There's that way. I don't know how into DIY you are, Andrew. You're a dad now.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a measuring tape on you, you can just kind of put your hand against your leg where the mark is and then walk to the next one and see if it's the same. That's scientific accuracy, that one.
I might do that.
Remembering where up your arm the measuring ends, and then you can kind of go, okay, it's about 40 centimeters to that mole. That's why all my furniture is all rickety. I bought it myself.
That might be the best idea for a tattoo. It's just like a measuring tape.
Yes.
It's just the
you could only ever
change.
Do a meter if you put your arms like Usain Bolt. It's a very visual joke, that.
So I went to a birthday party the other day.
Oh, cool.
Birthday boy was late to his own party because he was 1 year old. He was 1 year old, everyone. He was 1 year old. He was late to his birthday party. I would never be late to my birthday party. I would be awake and on time. But he was sleeping because he's 1 year old.
What were you doing at a one-year-old's birthday party?
it's my nephew.
Oh,
he
related.
One. Yeah,
that's
no,
fine.
I'm related. It was a fine party. There are no little small boxes of Smarties, though.
What?
So, yeah, I think I think he's too young to have friends.
I think his parents are raising him wrong. And you can tell them I said that. They're not getting the small box of Smarties for his birthday party. What's the point?
I think when you're one, you're probably not allowed to eat Smarties or something like that. Ugh, there's all these weird things that, like, at certain ages you can eat certain things. Isn't that right, Kerr? Can you eat Smarties yet?
I seem to remember, not through memory, but through family recorded video, that those early parties, if you've got an older sibling, it's just you and then your older sibling and her friends.
Yeah.
Are, like, celebrating your party together.
Did you ever have that blue sort of bottom of a portable swimming pool that would get rolled out on the floors so that the kids couldn't spill on the carpet?
I think we might have had that, yeah.
And you don't see that anymore. No one's busting that out. And if anything, I think adults can be just as messy as children.
Yeah.
So we
next time I come around to yours, I expect full kind of plastic mats.
Yeah.
That's why they have the red carpet at Hollywood.
I reckon so.
Because everyone gets so messy.
Yeah, it's all the popcorn.
All the popcorn?
Yeah.
Do you think they take popcorn into...
Hey, it's a movie, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the Grammys or the Oscars or something. Just the award ceremony. So yeah. I got the crappiest seats right in the front. Neck hurts.
Speaking of Grammys and music, earlier this week we got together with Derek Watson, Sunday Blues, best known for doing parody songs and their own songs and some hippo and croc videos and all sorts of weird and wonderful things on YouTube. They've recently started a podcast that you can listen to, but what we brought them onto the Brother Streep Show to do was to play some True or False. Enjoy.
Is it true? Is it false? True or false?
Welcome to a special edition of True or False with Derek Watts and the Sunday Blues. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Let me
it's
do one.
It's great to be on this podcast.
Okay, let me do one.
You also, I think you said True or False. True or False.
Okay, let's try one.
Welcome to True or False with special guest Derek Watts and the Sunday Blues. It's great to have you here.
Oh. Thanks. That was good. That was a very good delivery.
That's the third attempt at that, so yeah. We'll leave that in. This is True or False, where we present a little fact, and the rest of the gang will kind of ask a couple questions and then decipher if it is indeed true or false.
Are you guys in a gang?
We're a gang officially now, the four of us.
Oh, yeah. Is that what four people gather? You're a gang? A gang of...
Gang of comedy duos.
Not so fast though. What are the membership fees?
Well, it's very, very affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any hand signals?
We have a handshake, and we also have a special hug.
Okay.
There's a special hand tattoo, but it doesn't look like you're going to have any space.
Okay.
So, what is out.
Okay.
It's just something that takes more space than your existing tattoos. So yeah, we're here with Nick and Gareth of Derek Watts, and we're going to play some True or False.
Great.
Who's up first? Simon?
I'll go first. All right. Here's my little fact for you guys. I once broke up with a girlfriend because I was too afraid to kiss her.
I'd like to know what year this was.
This was 2 years ago.
No. It's lies.
this was when I was in high school. There was this lovely German girl called Carla.
Did she have terrible breath?
No, she had... There was nothing really wrong with Carla. She was very pretty.
There was something wrong with you.
Yeah, she was very pretty. It was more just I, at that stage, had not kissed a lady and was just a bit nervous.
And she was really applying the pressure.
Well, she was, actually. For Valentine's Day, the 1 year, like, we went on this nice romantic cruise around the waterfront, like champagne cruise. It was very, very classy.
Yeah.
And I think she expected that I would make a move... on this particular day. It was Valentine's Day. There was champagne. There was...
Did she pay for the cruise?
I think she did.
Yeah, she definitely wanted the kiss.
Yeah, I think she did want to...
How long had you been dating or going out? Or
a couple of months. But
you were going steady.
We were going steady. High school relationships are difficult, though, because you didn't have your own transport.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. And she lived in town and I lived not in town.
Right.
So it was quite difficult. But so shortly after this, I got an email kind of saying, like, hey there, like, we haven't kissed or anything.
Please say you still have this email.
You could have come up with a great excuse there, though. I feel you could have said, look, I only kiss girls on land. Because we were on a boat, like, it just didn't seem the right time, it seemed just disrespectful to the creatures of the sea.
I'm just enjoying that this came via email, like, dear Simon, we kind of haven't kissed. Kind regards.
Yeah. Gareth, what do you think? True or false?
I think that's very true.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say true too, and I'm going to put my cards on the table here.
Yeah.
Two things. I think you've told this story on a true or false before, and I think it's true. And secondly, we didn't even ask for like any details, and you just went on and on. I think you just wanted to tell the story.
Well, what I really wanted to say, let you off the hook, guys. It is true.
Yay!
But the story that I really wanted to share, I realized I couldn't because Dylan had been in the car when I'd found this out. I really wanted to say is that an ex-girlfriend of mine who also broke up with, and I probably also didn't kiss, I'd broken up with via letter printed out on a computer, and her father still has that letter today. This is something that happened in high school. He has, for whatever weird reason,
framed it,
hung on to this letter.
How do you know he still has the letter?
Because a friend of mine bumped into this woman in a coffee shop the other day, and somehow they got chatting, and she had said, like, my dad, for whatever reason, still has the letter Simon gave
me. It's the Simon tattoo doesn't rub off so easily on some ladies.
It's so weird that the dad is keeping the letter.
It's like, well, daughter, here are all your rejections. He's got them up on some big shelf. Here's where you came in last in that race. Here's where that guy dumped you.
What is his angle? Like, what is he hoping to achieve?
Do you know what I think it is? I think he kept it because of the just how weird a breakup letter it is. I've now got a copy of it because she texted it through. And it's the only breakup letter I've ever seen where it's really short. And I've attempted to make jokes with it.
That does sound about right.
Breakup letter. There's things about how short my friend Richard is. It's stuff about how breakups are tough, much like a biology exam.
That really dates it.
Yeah, it's
good. There's plenty other guys out there. Don't go for Richard though. He's too short.
Anyway, so that was true.
All right, Gareth, what have you got for us?
I was once an extra on Issy Dingo, a background extra. Not a speaking line extra. I was in the coffee
Those
shop.
Background extras are so busy.
The Horizon Deep coffee shop.
All right, tell me, were you purposefully an extra or did they just happen to be filming Izzy Dingo?
No,
in
it's
this?
Filmed on an actual set. It's not in an actual coffee shop. I'm sorry to if I'm good to know. Bursting
I've,
the bubble here.
I've never watched Izzy Dingo. For all I know, it could be about a dingo. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, so. Whether or not he is, in fact, a dingo.
Is he or is he not a dingo? Tune in for the next 10 years to find out.
Is he dingo or is he coyote?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the theme song to Izzy Dingo? Because this will give it away.
I don't know what it is now.
That's
X-Men.
Yeah, no, never mind. I've never seen it.
It sounds kind of similar if you start thinking that. What is it now? I'm trying to think the last time I...
That's something else, right?
No.
That's Game of Thrones.
I can't remember the theme song.
I can't remember it either. It's totally gone.
Okay, when were you an extra on Izzy Dingo?
2003.
Okay, wait. I think I know this. I think I might actually know. Were the Finkelsteins playing?
They weren't playing, but they were in the episode.
They were in the
episode. So I was on tour with him as guitar tech carrying person, setup, amp stuff, and they were on one of the episodes. And we got to be in the coffee shop in the background while they were obviously like had a speaking role, minor speaking role.
So you did not have a speaking role.
So myself, Debo, and Jackie, the road crew.
Yeah.
We're having coffee in the coffee shop.
Did you ever get your coffee? Because if I recall, it's a lot of waitresses walking backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Very busy background. Yeah.
They gave us cups of coffee that we sat down with. We didn't actually get served.
Were you told that if you're going to talk, in inverted commas, to say rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb?
No, it wasn't rhubarb, rhubarb. But it was.
I remember that from school plays.
We had to pretend to be talking. But very softly.
Okay.
So, because otherwise you can't hear if you're just mouthing stuff. No one knows what you're saying. You can't respond like you're actually having a conversation. So you have to go like, so what are
you doing? Did you deliberately talk about really filthy things so that when you watch...
To try crack up.
To try crack up, but also that when you watch the episode afterwards, like you get to go like, haha, they don't know this, but I was saying some terrible things about these people.
I don't actually remember what I spoke about, to be honest.
I don't think there's any reason.
Pretty good because there was a lady present as well. We didn't want to sort of, you know.
That's good.
So she wasn't a dirty. dirty talker. No,
Jackie's lovely.
I don't think there's any reason to believe that this is false. This is just a cool story of how you were like once touring with the Finkelsteins. Yeah, again, like just trying to get a story out there.
A man.
Just wanted you to know that I did that.
Yeah.
This is just a man recounting a memory.
Yeah. If you have this made this up, also Nick says it's true and he seems to remember it as a story. I withheld kind of my like privy to the story till last in Simon's round, but fair enough. I'm going to say it's true too.
Okay.
Ooh, do you know what? I'm going to say it's false.
Yeah.
And that some of the story is true, that the Finkelsteins
was actually on Seven episode,
but he never got to be in it. He just had to wait outside and watch this all happen. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
What is
it? So the story is false.
What?
Hey!
I did go on tour with the Finkelsteins, all that kind of stuff, but we were never on an episode of Issy Dingo.
All of that's false.
All of that is false except for being on tour with them.
That's fantastic. Oh, so you did still get to say it.
Just pushing it in there.
But wait, did they...
People right now going, the who?
Did they... So they weren't on Issy Dingo?
They were not.
Why does Nick remember them on Issy Dingo then?
I think you're thinking of Stratlokkinners on Sevendalen.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Did you have... Were you going to say that... Did I give you that for the Finkelsteins being on Issy Dingo? Were you going to always say that as part of your story?
You never gave me that.
I did. I said, weren't the Finkelsteins... Weren't they on Issy Dingo? And you were like, yeah, I was on tour with them at the time.
Well, I had to say that for the story, the true or false.
Yeah, but were you going to say that you were on tour with them and they were on... The Finkelsteins were on... Or did that come purely from me? What was going to be your story otherwise?
No, obviously it came from me.
But am I right?
Let's replay the tape. Which came first?
No, that was the original idea for the story.
But I said it before you even got there. That's amazing.
Preempted a false story.
That was genuinely my story.
But you acknowledged that I got there first.
You did, but what I'm saying is that didn't influence my storytelling.
But I know, but
does this ever happen in your writing sessions where so you come up with
a
joke?
I came up with that joke. No, I did. But I just wrote that joke.
I said that joke out loud.
Yes, but I thought of that joke before and didn't tell you.
That's very weird.
Okay, right. I'm going to go with my fact. I broke both my wrists falling off my bed while playing Jurassic Park.
Yes. Okay. So true. Wow. You wanted to be a velociraptor.
More accurately, Jurassic Park.
I'm going to say false. You only broke one wrist.
I'm going to say, when was this?
That's a better question. This would have been around the height of Jurassic Park or just thereafter, I guess. So 94? Kind of 94, 95-ish. Yeah.
Okay. And when you were playing Jurassic Park,
yeah.
What was the general, how did the game kind of go?
So I was trying to recreate the opening, I think it's one of the opening scenes where they're loading the velociraptor into a thing, and yeah. I've got a bunk bed at this age.
Okay.
So I've kind of climbed on top of the bunk bed. I'm like that Puerto Rican guy who opens the door to let the velociraptor out of the cage into the other cage. I hope everyone can recall this scene because I'm not describing it very well. So I'm there, I'm kind of lifting up on this thing, and he's like, shoot her, and then I fell off the bed.
Was there anyone else playing this game with you?
Good question.
All right.
No, that was by
myself. Were you Dr. Robert Muldoon?
Oh, I love that you know that name. But no, okay. I was, as I say, the guy on top. I did yell out his lines. Shoot her.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because that was Muldoon saying shoot her.
That was Muldoon, you're right.
He was, this is like a one-man play. He was playing all the characters.
I was physically playing Puerto Rican guy who opens the Velociraptor. I wasn't playing the Velociraptor. But then there was a sudden shunt of the bed and I fell off.
And what house were you in? Was this the Heatherway house?
This wasn't the Heatherway house. This would have been the Eagle Way house.
Okay. How many rooms did this house have?
Two actual rooms and like a lounge and a passage and stuff.
The reason I'm asking this is because Dylan has a sister. And I'm just trying to figure out why you would have had a bunk bed.
Did your sister sleep on the top or the bottom of the bunk bed?
No.
Oh,
I'm thinking of changing my answer to false here.
Yeah, the bunk bed detail has really gotten to me.
I did have a bunk bed.
But there was only one of you.
Yeah, well, we had a bunk bed that carried over from when we both were on the bunk bed. But at this stage, she wasn't on the bunk bed anymore.
But then
I decided to keep the bunk bed.
But if you had two rooms, what room was she in then?
Oh, no, she was in her room, and there was like my mom's room. I guess there were three rooms.
I feel like the story's unraveling a little bit.
It is, so now there's an extra room in the house. What I like to do in this game is Dylan will always present a fact which is more about something else. So the actual fact is that he broke his wrists. And then I will try to pick a different detail and
using
grill him on
architecture
it. To turn it against him. So now I'm going to say false based
on
the bunk beds.
Were you
going to
say true at any point?
I might have, but now I've heard about the bunk beds and the house that rapidly grew an extra room.
This is a shame. Nick, what are your thoughts here?
I'm going to say false.
Because of the bunk beds.
Yeah. That tiny detail is starting to sway me. I think you might have broken... Oh, no. I think you might not have broken the wrists. I think you fell off, but you didn't break your wrists. I think there's something like that.
That's not what's in play here.
Well, it's still a false.
I just want to add that I also used to play Jurassic Park at home. I used to reenact the kitchen scene. I used to just go around the house opening doors.
And eating.
Yes. I just opened doors and I was like, look.
Yeah, reenacting the kitchen scene. Just making food. Have you declared what it is yet, Gareth?
I'm going to change my original answer of true to false.
Sure. Three falses.
This is a damn shame because it is false, but based nothing on this bunk bed thing. I genuinely did have a bunk bed that I played on. I have a sister. I had a house there. I guess there was one extra room that I didn't account for.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get lucky. That's a shame. Sometimes you get lucky in this game.
Oh, well. So did you break your wrists or was that entirely fabricated?
All of it was.
But you did play Jurassic Park on the bunk bed and pretend to open the door.
No.
Okay.
But I did have a bunk bed. Okay. The only thing that you kept saying was false was the true part.
It's weird because that's a fact that just seems very suspicious.
All right, Nick, what is your story?
All right. I might have sent an innocent man to prison.
I'm definitely going to say this is false. I don't know if I need to even hear any more detail.
The problem is the might have. It's like we all might have done something.
All right, who is this man?
I don't know.
Dylan's is starting to look really, really solid by comparison here.
Did you just think of this now?
All right. Okay, so you don't know who the man is. And under what circumstances might your testimony have sent this unknown man to prison?
Okay, so I was very young. I might have been in about standard 2.
Okay.
Or 1. And
maybe like 10 years old?
Yeah, probably... Maybe even younger.
Okay.
9.
Wow.
That is younger.
Yeah, that does sound younger.
9.5. I had a brand new bicycle. Just got a brand new bicycle. I was loving it. I was riding down the roads of Pinelands.
What color was the bicycle?
I think it was like a blue, like a
How
dark
many
blue.
Rooms did you have?
Yeah. Did you have a bunk bed?
I rode down some road to one of the schools because I wanted to get a drink of water from the tap.
Yeah.
So I left my bike there, drank some water, then I was like, I'm gonna go exploring around the school. But it was one of those, like, it's like a Sunday, it was like the school was closed. There was no one. Well, it wasn't closed, I could get in, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I went exploring.
There were no classes that day.
No. And I just went exploring, I had a good time. And then I came back and my bike was gone.
Okay.
And I was like, oh no, what am I going to tell my folks? Like, I just got this bike. It was very irresponsible of me to leave it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them that somebody took it from me. That's a better idea.
Yeah.
Then you know, I'm not going to look bad. You know, when you're a kid, you come up with stuff.
Yeah.
You just don't want to be in trouble.
Also, sometimes when you're on a podcast doing true or false, you come up with stuff.
Yeah. So I ran home and I was really upset. And I was like, oh, this guy, he took my bike. It was really scary. And they're like, oh, this is quite serious. What did he look like? I was like, oh, he was wearing a black and red striped jersey.
Oh, no, it's Where's Wally? It's the first thing you could think of.
he had a balaclava, obviously, because that's what...
He was a baddie.
He was a baddie. He had a black balaclava. And he had a black and I think he might have been holding a knife.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You think.
So this is, you know, I'm scared. I don't know, you know. So, okay, well, we're going to have to go to the police station and file this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, oh, geez, one thing's now leading to the next.
You thought they were just going to go, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. So then a bit of the day goes by after I've told the police about it. I'm like, oh, the bike's gone now. That's it. And we get a call and they go, we found your bike.
What?
We found your bike. Someone called us. They saw this guy wheel it and put it under the bush in my front garden. So she called us and we came and we found him and he had a backpack on him.
Yeah.
Just come into the station. So we went into the station and in this backpack was a black and red striped jersey.
No.
And a balaclava and a knife.
And a black beanie, not a balaclava, a black right. beanie.
This
and
has they become like, untrue.
They were like,
very quickly, very quickly unraveling. I like the story time with Nick yeah. kind of thing, but...
It was beautiful up until this point.
It's turned into lies now.
Okay, all right.
What else?
And they were like, is this the stuff he was wearing, right? Because this is what you described. And I was like, geez, well, yeah, obviously, because...
Yeah.
Then I get away with it.
Yeah.
So you're clairvoyant is basically what you're saying.
And and that's what happened. And then a couple of months later,
when he got out,
a couple of months later, we had to go to court and go like, yeah, that's what happened. And, yeah.
What? 10-year-old had to go to court.
False.
This is false.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. For starters, I don't think you get sent to prison for like taking a bike
and then putting it under a bush.
Yeah. I want to hear the part after. After we all say that it's false and you agree that it was false, that that your bike was stolen and got returned to you. I think that part might be
Simon?
True.
Going with false?
I'm definitely going with false. Yeah. There's no way that as the story has been presented is entirely true.
Who carries a knife in a backpack? It's so dangerous.
I don't know if I've ever seen a black and red striped jersey in real life.
All right. False, false, false.
Are you all saying false?
Yeah.
Oaks, this is true.
No.
This is true.
This can't be true.
What?
You can ask my mom the next time you see her.
Oh, well.
You can ask her about this.
I'm going to WhatsApp her right after this.
She doesn't know that I made up the story of the guy with the... She doesn't know.
No, Nick.
Still. I'm going to tell you one day.
We just broke some breaking news on the first podcast.
Oaks, can I tell you?
That's insane.
So you did go and testify in court as a 10-year-old.
Well, I just went there and was like, they were like, did this guy take your bike? And I was like, I think so.
Oh, my word.
So the South African judiciary system of the time took, I think so, as definitive proof.
I can't, it was a long time ago.
Hey? Do you think
this is like perjury or something like that?
Do you think this guy, I mean, two things have either happened here, is one, this guy genuinely was innocent. Like he didn't mean to take your bike. He's just trying to put it somewhere safe. And he was a very nice guy who just happened to have a knife in his backpack. Or he was up to no good and you could have stopped something worse from happening.
Yeah.
You never know. But for me, I was just, as a little kid, my mind was blown when I made up a story about a black and red striped jersey, a knife, and they were in the bag.
Do you know what? I don't think that we should release any more episodes of the Brother Streep Show. I think what should happen is we do one of those crime podcasts where we go uncover who like this serial. Guy was, like what he went on to be, the real story behind that day, what he was up to. We could so many listeners. We've already got the first interview down.
That's cool. I'm in.
Yeah, let's do it.
When they discovered the backpack with the items in that you
that I described.
Made up.
Yeah.
Did you think that you maybe had like some kind of special powers?
Well, I was very confused. I thought maybe I wasn't actually sure if what had happened or what hadn't.
Did I actually
make this story up?
They wanted to get this guy for a while and planted things that you described previously into his backpack. Sounds more likely than you somehow saw the future.
Save that for episode 3 of our crime podcast.
Or what happened was it actually did happen and I just blocked it all out and was like and made up a fabricated story
in my
mind.
That's episode 7. That
I just put my bike down for a sip of water.
That reveal happens near the end of the crime series.
When CCTV footage is discovered.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, at the end of true or false, I think Nick wins for the biggest mind blow.
Yes.
Thanks, guys, for joining us on today's true or false.
Wiki, wiki, what?
Welcome to Wiki, wiki, what? Although there's going to be a bit of a twist for this round because I haven't actually found an article on Wikipedia to quiz you about, but rather I've found a book.
Sweet.
Now, it's very cool that Dylan at the top of this episode mentioned Area 51 and aliens, because what I have found is the world's greatest alien abductions book.
Is that the title of the book?
That is. It's called The World's Greatest Alien Abductions.
Sweet.
By Nigel Cawthorne.
All right.
If that's a real person.
Yeah.
All of these happened to him, and he's like These were the best out of all of the times that I was abducted.
Yeah, it's not a very thick book. I don't know. I don't know the validity of these claims. Yeah.
What it says here in the back is there have been over 40 million logged sightings of unidentified flying objects and thousands of abduction reports. Although most abductees are not clear in their explanations, there are experiences that link many and descriptions that indicate there is something unexplainable out there.
Ooh. I don't want to sound really rude, yeah, but don't you often find that kind of the typical abductee,
yeah,
seems to be of the lower IQ kind of, you don't often get like the Wall Street, you know, suit and tie going, okay guys, we need to gather around. So last night I was abducted by aliens.
But it's like a predator to prey on the weak.
Yeah, I guess.
Aliens are just preying on the lower IQ.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get one of us cleveries in there, because we all then start taking their ship apart and doing all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, copying their technology. No,
they're keeping their profile just low enough so getting that we're their, unsure.
Their yeah, human talking plants.
So this...
for ourselves.
This book, in the back of it, it says, you can always tell a book is classy when it's got its price hard printed on the back of a book. It's... £2.99
Okay.
Which is quite nice.
These days, that's a lot of money.
It's quite a lot of money, actually.
Political.
It's like just under 100 of the Queen's rents. What is quite nice, though, is I got this book for free.
Oh.
Because the kind folk at Bargain Books in Deep River,
yeah,
they have a section of books that they obviously haven't been able to sell.
Wow.
That they literally just have there. You don't even have to have bought anything. You can just walk in there, pick up a calendar from 1997 and a book on alien abductions.
It's so, like the super, super bargain bin.
So that's good. All right. So I thought we'd play, I'd quiz you on this book on yeah, some alien abductions.
All right.
So if you're following at home, you can turn to page 177 of your alien abduction books. Now, when I picked up this book and looked at the content section, my eyes were kind of immediately drawn to the very last chapter, which is called Weird and Wacky.
Sure. Yep.
As if the rest of the book hasn't been. Yeah,
super serious.
It's almost like something was moving your eyes there.
Wow. All right. So we're going to begin with a story entitled Double Trouble.
Okay.
Story, or do you mean factual account?
No, I mean, this is a factual account. Yeah. It's a book.
Okay. All right.
You know, you wouldn't go ahead and print out a 180-odd page book if it's not at least true, I'm yeah, guessing. So I'm sure, it's got to be okay, well-researched.
I'm taking notes.
All right. At 9 a.m. on the 4th of January, 1975, a UFO crashed into the wall of a house in Brazil where the teenaged Antonio Ferrara lived. The incident seemed to have annoyed the aliens on board.
You don't do the page turn as seamlessly as somebody who's read more in their life. And I know that because I've read none in my life.
It's hard to turn a
it's
page.
It's so clunky.
It's hard to turn a page, hold a pen and a book at the same time. At least with Wikipedia, it's on a screen. All right. So this annoyed the aliens on board because they later came back and zapped him with a beam of light. The aliens then emerged from the UFO and dragged Ferrara abroad. They were about 3 feet tall with dark hair and skin. All right, it's coming down to question time.
Yeah.
The alien's chief interrogator, Crosus, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correct. I'm not really fluent in yeah, alien language. He asked Ferrara about two things. What two things do you think this alien would want to know about Earth?
They wanted to know if our plants do talk human languages.
Yeah.
Beep. They wanted yeah, to know if we were peaceful.
Okay, peaceful. No, you haven't gotten it.
The opposite. Are we dangerous?
No, this is more about actual objects, really. Two things I want to know about.
Beep. Do they want to know if there's food?
Oh, okay. All right. Andrew gets a point.
Are you writing in the book?
I am writing
it was free.
The scores in the book because... Well,
somebody's going to find that somewhere in a classroom and think that those are the correct answers. I think it is money. They want to know about how money works.
No, they want to know about
okay,
money.
Okay. Beep.
They want to know if there are any of their own kind around.
Ooh, cows. No. Cows. They always go for cows.
Very close to cows.
Beep. Donkeys. Horses.
No.
Just beep their leader.
Just the way you pronounce
cars.
It.
Like a
leader. Yeah, there we go. Cars. The way you pronounce it was very similar.
All right.
All right. When the teenager's answers were not up to scratch, Crorus punched him in the chest.
Whoa.
I know, Hector.
Aggressive.
They're aggressive aliens. Ferrara then offered the aliens a deal.
You know, a punch in the chest,
yeah,
they could be like hurting their own, because aliens, you know, famously come out of the chest.
Oh, that's true.
It's just like punching a baby in the face.
All right, so this boy offered the aliens a deal. What deal do you think he offered them? I'll give you a clue. It was an exchange. It's like, if you give me this, I'll give you that.
Oh, it's probably an annoying little boy offered his sister, like, just take her, she's annoying.
No, it was not that.
That's very Labyrinth.
It's good to know how you think, though.
It was food.
Okay.
I'm going to say we would give them food if they would give us a spaceship.
Ooh.
Close.
So close.
Beep.
Yeah.
We would give them food.
No, he was about to give it away.
And they would give us just peace and not hurt us.
No. Technology was one of the sides of
I'm going to give it to Dylan.
Yes.
I don't normally do this, but this is what Andrew does in his quiz that he hosts normally at the end of these podcasts, is someone will say something kind of similar and then the point will be given.
That's fair.
He made this deal in exchange for rides to distant planets.
Oh, it's a good deal.
He would bring them earthly subjects for dissection.
What?
All right,
that's nowhere close, but it is also a spaceship.
Yeah, he said spaceship for food, something like that. And it's kind of like
the same thing.
Earthly subjects that could be eaten. The aliens agreed and were content to receive three animals. What three animals were they content to receive?
Number one, cow.
Okay.
Beep.
Have to list three.
I'm going
to
say goat.
All right, you're both wrong.
Oh, there's not so far. Cat.
Yes.
Beep dog.
Yes.
Canary. Or bird in
beep
general.
Frog.
I'm going to give it to Dill. It was a parrot.
Yes. Whoa. Very, pretty close.
You didn't think that Dylan's read this world's greatest alien
adventure. Not only have I started reading it, I've got to page 180 something.
All right. So in fact, they were so pleased with this guy, they gave him something. What did they give him in return?
Beep. Eternal life.
No. A gun.
Dylan is correct. They gave him a powerful ray gun.
Which, of course, he could then prove because he handed it over to the man who wrote the book.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's how they know all this information. All right, final paragraph in this story. Ultimately, however, he found himself the subject of an experiment. He was put into a glass case along with an alien who was then miraculously transformed into his double.
Oh, yes. Double trouble.
Yeah. And then he had to watch while the aliens tested to see whether this experiment had worked properly. How did the aliens do this?
I mean, I don't want to say it.
What?
But the thing that aliens are known for doing.
Probing.
A bit of probing.
No, it wasn't. It was, think about it, they made a double of this guy. How are they going to test out whether this double is a successful double?
They put him in his life.
Yes. Sort of. Who specifically did they?
The wife. His wife or girlfriend. His sister.
Remember, he is a teenager.
Sorry. His girlfriend.
Beep, his school.
His best friend.
No.
His teacher. His pet.
No.
That would be a good one, though. See if the dog still
likes
him.
Beep, his mom?
Dole said mom already. No.
Dad.
Yes. All right. And that's where the story ends.
Wait, hold on. Did he fool the dad?
It doesn't say. That's the thing. It's left us wanting more of this story.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. I want to know what happened. I don't know what happened. Doesn't say in the book. All right.
So basically what you're saying, he was abducted and they made a double and the double remained on Earth.
Well, potentially, we don't know. They made a double and then anything could have happened past that point.
I mean, we don't know and anything could have happened sounds like a good way to describe this book.
All right. Second story. Andrew, you are doing terribly at this game. Dylan currently has like 6 points and you have 2. So I want you to...
Maybe that's good for aliens.
Who knows? All right. This story is called... Actually, I won't give you the title because the question comes up later that refers to the title. All right. British abductions are often more prosaic. In February 1976, for example, in West Yorkshire, 2 tall aliens with cat-like eyes and grey faces appeared in the bedroom of Reg. Now, what I want to know is what occupation did Reg have?
Beep.
Accountant.
Nope.
Lawyer.
Nope. Oh, hold on. Beep. Vet.
No.
But doctor.
You're close with the vet and the doctor.
Close with a vet and a
beep
doctor.
Nurse.
Think emergencies.
X-ray man.
Beep. Paramedic. A paramedic.
So close. Maybe less qualified than
surgeon,
the paramedic.
Like, oh, let's beep.
GP.
St. John's Ambulance rugby match person.
Ambulance driver.
Dylan fortunately gets it again.
Come on.
But I'm going to
What did you say about rugby?
You got so close, Kerr.
I know.
You just had to say the word driver instead of rugby and you would have been fine. All right. Although they observed him as though he was some sort of specimen, they seemed to need his talents. Now, what talents did Rich, the ambulance driver, have?
Is that an innuendo?
He was good. He had good night vision.
No.
Probably did though.
His talents, I mean, he could balance a spoon on his nose.
as an ambulance driver. He responded well to emergencies.
No, so this actually has nothing to do with him being an ambulance driver, which really makes me wonder how the aliens knew this.
Beep, yeah. He could hold his breath.
It's not that.
Beep, he could hold his food down.
Beep,
he could hold his thumbs.
All right, I'm going to give it to no one. He was a dab hand at fixing things. I don't know. Do you think he had like a certificate in his house?
I'll tell you what he had. A tattoo of a measuring tape up his arm.
All right. So he was a dab hand at fixing things, and the alien showed him a piece of rubber tubing and asked him to come with them. So clearly they were like, oh, we need you to fix this.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it was, that it was rubber tubing, because aliens are also known for other things. Anyway, they told him to lie on the bed, and then they paralyzed him.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, it doesn't go where you think it's going. Soon he found himself floating through the ceiling and up to a waiting UFO, which Ridge said looked like a... beep.
Frisbee.
Not a frisbee.
Flying saucer.
Nope.
Beep, block of cheese.
Nope.
A stadium.
Nope.
Of ambulance.
Nope. Yeah, that's quite good. Like an ambulance driver.
That's all he knows, Reg. He only thinks in terms of things within
beep,
the ambulance.
Fighter jet.
The crown jewels.
It's something that you would find in your house.
Beep, teapot.
A toaster. A kettle.
No, it's something bigger than that.
A stove.
A bread bin.
A microwave.
Nope.
A toilet seat.
Close.
A basin.
Nope.
Beep, a toilet. Beep, a bath.
Yes,
shower.
Finally, Andrew gets his third point. That is exciting news. All right. In common with other abductees,
he's trying to like lift me up, like a little poor orphan boy out of the streets.
Usually, you'd have cut off earlier there.
I know.
On your 18th guess, you got it.
In common with other abductees, once inside the UFO, he was laid on a bed and given something. What was it?
A piece of rubber to fix.
No.
Beep. Talking to.
No.
A nice little meal.
No, remember, this is like a common thing. Apparently, this happens. Most people who are abducted will go through this.
A probing.
Anesthesia.
I'm going to give it to Andrew because it's a full medical examination, which is, I think, where the probing always comes into things.
Yeah, that's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah. A large purple device,
of course,
which looked like an eye, was scanned across his body. The aliens who had abducted Reg kept quoting something at him, like a book. What was it?
Shakespeare.
Nope.
The Bible.
Oh, Dylan knows his aliens. Dylan, have you been abducted by an alien? Because the way you're speaking...
I am not Dylan.
I'm quite glad that I'm getting quite low scores.
I am double trouble.
But when he asked them who they were, they replied rather rudely, "And an insignificant being such as a worm should not ask questions."
Well, look, if they've just done a complete medical examination, they'll know he's not a worm.
That's true. However, they did volunteer that 1,000 of your years are but a day to us. So they gave him a little bit of like some handy information.
Isn't that like a biblical reference?
It is. I think they were
a little stitch up.
Yeah, yeah. Suddenly, Reg found himself back in his bed. He was still paralyzed, but the feeling of numbness soon wore off. Now, you're wondering, how do we know about this story? Although there were large chunks of recollection missing from his memory, he nevertheless immediately contacted the British Unidentified Flying Object Research Association and told it his story.
Bufra.
Yeah, Bufra. So that's...
Wait, so what was the name of the story that would have given it away?
Abducted in the Bath.
Ah.
Although he wasn't actually abducted in the bath. He just said that the thing looked like a bathtub.
Yeah, this story's sketchy.
Yeah,
this is very sketchy. I don't know if I believe this one.
Anyway, that was Wiki Wiki What.
What is that? That sounds terrifying. Wait, that's not an alien. That's the quiz. Hey!
The quiz!
That's right. It's alien-y quiz. No, it's not at all. It's the Brad Pitt quiz.
Whoa, my mind's blown.
Because has he been in any alien movies? Is there a cool crossover we can?
Oh, there must be. Now?
World War Z was a zombie movie.
That's true.
But you could argue that maybe the infection came from outer space.
Really?
Or something.
Is that the big twist?
I don't know, but you could argue it.
Right. Well, we're going to start with round one. Pitt.
His parents, this is a true story. His parents originally were going to call him Sand.
Okay. No. So, the first question, this is just general questions about Brad Pitt. The first question is, he did many small, low-paying jobs before his acting career took off. Some of the most notable ones include being what for a restaurant?
Beep.
Simon.
Sommelier.
A waiter.
It's incorrect.
A host.
Beep. A cashier. It's incorrect.
What is
beep,
it?
A dishwasher.
No, it's incorrect. It was more, I would say, theatrical.
Beep. A singer.
It's incorrect.
An entertainer.
Be more specific than that.
Busker is a musician.
Is incorrect.
A dancer.
Is the right answer.
What?
He was a dancing
Bradley?
Mascot.
Bradley?
Brad injured his what while playing Achilles in Troy in 2004.
Beep.
So, Simon,
beep,
you beeped there.
He injured his heel.
His heel. I'm going to give you that.
Achilles tendon?
It would have been amazing if you'd said Achilles tendon.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone knows that that's in the heel.
Be more specific. I seem to remember being called out in previous question. Oh, well.
Right. The third question is, Brad had his daughter Silo? Silo?
Are you Silo? Silo? I have no idea.
Silo. It's probably Silo.
Silo is needed.
In which African country, away from the prying paparazzi? I mean, these beeps are coming quickly, but I think it was Simon.
In Angola.
It's incorrect.
Malawi.
It's incorrect. Beep, beep, I'll give you a beep, clue. It's beep, Southern beep, Africa. Beep,
beep. South Africa.
Is incorrect.
Beep Lesotho.
Is incorrect.
Botswana.
Is wrong.
Nigeria.
Is wrong.
Beep Namibia
is the correct answer.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, well done, Simon.
Thanks,
man. The fourth question is, Brad Pitt was banned from entering China due to his controversial role in 1990.
7 years in Tibet.
I'm going to give it to you. Because I'd phrased the question really weirdly, but you said the answer in your in your answer. So well done.
Thanks.
You're right. For his role in 7 years
Why
in
is
Tibet.
It controversial?
Because he's whitewashed.
Bradley!
You're the Pitt.
Round two is first, best, most. And we're looking at the first movies he was involved in, the best movies, and the most
and
money
the
that
most
they made.
Movies.
Yeah. Okay, so the first movies that he was involved with.
Okay.
Here are the options. Hunk. No Man's Land. Less Than Zero.
Beep.
Simon.
He was in Hunk. And boy, did he live up to his role.
He was in all of them.
Yeah. I say Less Than Zero. It sounds
less
like one
zero.
Of the first movies one would be in.
Is the correct answer.
Yes,
so,
please.
Dylan gets
technically,
two
if you look
points.
At the release dates, Hunk definitely came out before.
Well, you know Andrew doesn't look at the release dates.
I do. They were all in 87. Less Than Zero was first.
Are we talking about the Australia release date or the American release date? Because I think you're fine. When I saw Hunk back in 1877.
Okay, so now it's the best according to the IMDb rating.
Uh-huh.
Here are the movies. Fight Club, Seven, or The Departed.
Beep, 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 beep.
Dylan.
The Departed. I don't remember him being in that. Interesting. I'm going to say the middle one, please.
So, Fight Club, Seven, The Departed.
I'm going with Seven.
Okay. I'm going for The Departed.
The Departed. You're both wrong. It was Fight Club.
Well, IMDb is wrong.
Okay.
It was Seven.
And the final one is the most money that he's made from or the most money that a movie he's been involved in has made.
I know
Here
what this is going to be.
Yeah,
here are the options.
In, then.
Do you want to beep it?
Put your beep where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Because it's currently the same place.
Beep.
Yeah.
Ocean's 12.
That's a ridiculous answer. Why 12?
Yeah. Which isn't that the sequel?
Yeah, well, there's three of them.
Yeah, well, that's the one that he made the most money in.
Okay, I'll choose to hear the options, please.
Okay, the options are World War Z,
yep.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
yep.
or Ocean's 11.
Okay.
done
and
it.
And you're asking which made the most money.
Yes, that's right.
I'll go Ocean's 11 just to rub it in the face. I hope it's right.
It's incorrect. It was World War Z.
Done.
Which made $202 million.
And Ocean's 12 made $103 million. So.
Didn't World War Z tank?
Clearly not.
There was a lot of talk that it was not as good as the source material, but right. I think it still did pretty well.
Okay.
Well, we're going to move on to round three, which is finish the...
the clearing of the throat.
Quote. The clearing of the quote. Here's a quote from Brad Pitt that you might like. I die really well. By the way, it's one of my strong points. I just take a...
Beep.
Dylan.
Big breath and do it.
Incorrect.
I just take a sleeping pill.
Incorrect. This would be I just take a and then something that would happen in a like a movie.
Dive.
No.
Beep a bite.
Oh, it's incorrect. A bullet.
Is the right answer.
Okay.
I take a bullet well. Okay. The second quote is being married means I can break wind and eat ice cream in
beep bed.
Is the right answer. There's a man who knows what he's talking about.
Is that what I've got to look forward to?
Yeah. And the third quote is, you must lose everything in order to gain...
Everything.
Incorrect.
Something?
Beep, sorry, I'm just floored by the idea that Dylan's going to be marrying Brad Pitt.
Oh, is that what I've got to look forward to in marriage?
Okay.
With Brad Pitt. Have I got it yet?
You must. You were close. You must lose everything in order to gain...
Beep, beep,
the thing you love.
Peace.
What? No, I was close.
Right beep, so far.
Love.
How have I not got it yet? Beep. Just give me the point.
It's a word that ends in thing.
Beep something.
I incorrect.
Said that. All things. So close.
Everything.
Nothing.
Beep. I said that already, though.
No.
Anything.
Is the right answer.
Oh, I knew that. I'd said it.
Okay.
In and my mind.
The final round is distant realism. We're going to be looking at the movie Troy.
Yay.
Which, of course, I haven't seen. So here we go. During filming in Mexico, two biologists were employed to protect what objects on the beach?
Beep.
Simon.
The Trojan horse objects.
I'm going to go with jellyfish.
Incorrect.
Beep. The crabs.
Is incorrect.
Seagulls.
Beep. No. The hermit crabs.
No.
Blue bottles.
So it is a. It is a.
The humans. Ooh.
Beep. The horses. The horses. Beep. 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 The horses.
Incorrect. If you think about like nature documentaries, what do you see that's trying beep to make its way across
beep the coral.
Beach?
The incorrect. Turtles.
Is the right answer.
Oh no.
I've never seen the coral try and make its way across the beach, except in that one video of ours.
Okay. Brad Pitt claimed. The filming was torturous for him because he had to do what?
Beep.
Simon.
Act all the time. So constantly had to act.
It was torturous because he had to be in the sun the whole time.
That's incorrect.
He had to just be really strong.
This is incorrect.
I'm just waiting for the clue, really.
Yeah, here comes the clue. thick and fast. This is actually something that he couldn't do.
Beep, fence, Simon. Sword fight.
Incorrect.
Beep,
read.
This is something that he wanted to do but could not do.
Beep, ride a bike.
Incorrect.
Beep, ride a horse.
Incorrect.
Read.
Incorrect.
Beep, ride a submarine.
Still not right.
This is kind of like a...
I haven't seen Troy either.
This is something that
beep, do I have,
might be
I'm
frowned upon
well.
in society, certainly in restaurants.
He wants to get naked.
Incorrect.
Spit. Beep, vomit.
No.
Beep, you wanted to vomit.
Fart in bed.
No, guys, come on. Lots of people do this.
Smoke cigarettes.
The right answer.
Come on. I haven't gotten any points for, like, ever.
Okay.
Andrew, remember how I helped you in that alien abductions round?
What was the final score? Okay. When the movie was released in Italy, the title was not translated because its Italian/Latin equivalent, Troia, is Italian slang for what?
Beep.
Simon.
Man and wooden horse.
Breasts.
Incorrect. Incorrect, but getting on the
beep,
right track.
Penis.
No, it's beep. Not. It's not anatomical. It's a profession.
Beep. Prostitute.
Is the right answer, Simon? Well done.
Oh, you got the point.
Okay, and the final question is: Brad Pitt trained for how many months to get a body that
beep,
looked like
beep,
that
beep,
of
beep,
Greek
beep,
statues?
7.5 months. Hey.
Yes, 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
The correct answer was 6, so Simon gets the point.
What? Yes! And aren't those ones worth like 10 points?
Unfortunately not, and Dylan was the quiz 8 to 5.
Yes!
What?
That was glorious.
What? That are nonsense.
I can't think of a song for the Troy. Eric Banner was in it. Yay!
Banner, 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 banner.
Eric.
That was strange. If you enjoyed this episode, you can donate to the show at brotherstreep.com. /donate. And please tell your friends about it. It really helps. Also, if you thought that game you played with Derek Watson, Sunday Breeze, was really fun, but you would like to hear more of them, then just keep on watching our Facebook page and our Twitter, because eventually in a couple of months, we're going to release our brand new podcast series called A Little More Conversation with the Brother Streep. And there you'll have a full interview with them.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So thank you for listening and have a great 2 weeks further. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Woohoo!
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.